As theologian Thomas Long writes, what is true for those who live in the power of the kingdom of heaven, according to the Beatitudes, is a flat reversal of what is considered to be true in the culture at large. We live in a world that pronounces the benediction over the self-sufficient, the assertive, and the power brokers, and the people whom the world would see as pitiful, the mournful, the persecuted, are the very people that Jesus claims are truly the joyful ones, the ones who are truly blessed. Tum Wayham. Wait. Tum Wayham. Tum Wayham. Tum Wayham. I don't speak Aramaic. But, so let's just take this contrast a little bit further. So we've got this contrast of the way in which there is a world of culture that says, no, this is really the way they operate. That this is the North Star in which we operate. It's the North Star in which we operate by power and possession and position. And then you have these words that come from Jesus that say, no, there's something completely different. Let's look at it just a little bit more carefully. And the reason I talk to the young people about Aramaic is we have this really interesting thing. That's the language that Jesus speaks in. He speaks in the language of Aramaic. In order for us to get to blessed are, the words that we have, the words that Jesus spoke in Aramaic were then translated over the next 50 years or so into spoken Greek of 2,000 years ago. The spoken Greek, which has a different sort of structural form to written Greek, was then translated into written Greek. And that written Greek was then copied over generations and generations and centuries and translated into Latin. And ultimately, 1,600 years or so later, is translated into English. So we've gone from spoken Aramaic to spoken Greek to written Greek to Latin to 1,500 years of copying of manuscripts before we get to the first semblance of these words in English. We are a long ways at that point. We are a long ways away from knowing or from hearing what Jesus has actually said. It's this telephone game of Aramaic to Greek to Latin to English that, as you know, when you play that telephone game, by the time you get to the end of the telephone line, what this person said over here translated into so many others is actually quite different. And particularly is that so because each language is a reflection of the thought patterns of the speakers. So in Aramaic, for instance, unlike Greek, unlike Latin, unlike English, unlike all the Romance language, the Germanic languages, unlike all of those languages is a language that draws no sharp distinctions between our inner quality and our outer actions. So, what does that mean? What that means is that when you get to the word, so at the end of the first beatitude that you read here, is it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, as I put it in there, or the kingdom of heaven. When you get to, from the Aramaic words that I can't pronounce, that would have been translated into kingdom, into basileo ho horano, that's Greek, which then gets translated into the kingdom of heaven, you've actually moved the original is very different than what we think of a kingdom, because we think of a kingdom of heaven as something out there. A place where you get to go to if you've been good and done the right thing. But in Aramaic, the very words that ultimately become kingdom of heaven is not a place out there, but it is instead a meaning or akin something to more that which is always within us and amongst us. Always was, always is, always will be. It's an inner quality. It's an outer presence, a lived reality. The kingdom from the Aramaic presence, Aramaic understanding, is not a place out there. It is right here amongst us in so many ways. It's the same way I've talked to you about in the Hawaiian understanding. We have three piko, right? Our belly button is one piko. Our genitals is a second. The top of our head is a third piko. One piko connects us to the past, That would be the pico that comes from the umbilical cord. One pico connects us to the future. That would be that which is our genitals. And one pico connects us, the top of our head, to the spirit world that is all around us. So that when we carry our bodies, our three pico always carry with us the presence of that which was before, that which is now, that which shall be, and that which is the spirit world that always surrounds us. That's much closer to the understanding of the Aramaic than kingdom of heaven as a place out there to get to. Aramaic is also a language that, not unlike Hawaiian, in which there are multiple layers. In Hawaiian, we speak the kauna. There are multiple layers to each word. And so that as a word is translated, depending upon the way in which it is used, the sentence in which it is, it could have very different understandings than just a single translation. So if you were to lift this up and look at the red, and you would see where in the black it says, blessed are X, you will see tuned to the source. Blessed are those. Healthy are those. On the backside, aligned with the one are those. Renewal when you are reproached. Do everything in extreme. All of these are different ways of saying that one word, tubuayun, depending upon the sentence in which it lives in. And so what we have here, when we begin to look at that, is you have words that have to have an internal tie-in together. And that's what this theologian by the name of Neil Douglas Cox says is ripeness and maturity. So when Jesus talks about blessing, when he talks about that life of being blessed and uses the Aramaic word tubuayim, he's talking about a process. He's not talking about an end state. He's talking about the process of getting from here to there, till ultimately when we have reached that place, what the mature person of faith looks like, the one who is living into all that God has created them to be, looks like one who is this, this, or this. And the Beatitudes begin to lay that out. It's not a litmus test. It's not a set of commandments. It is a journey that we are being invited along. And so what you end up having when you take it and you try and backcast your way to the Aramaic, you begin to see these words that have become so very familiar that they become been there, done that, take on a richness and a newness of meaning. And I really want to invite you all to take this home and read it. Because in it you'll find ways, at least for me, I found it broke the Beatitudes open for me in new ways. Look, for instance, for just a minute, at the third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. There are folks who struggle with that. For when we hear the word meek, we think of weakness. When we hear the words inherit the earth, we think of dividing the earth up so some get, some don't. Instead, look at the way in the Aramaic it reads. Healthy are those who have softened what is rigid within. Healthy are those that have softened what is rigid within. Think about our lives. We live in a world in which we, in fact, embrace that rigidity. We like our politicians to be able to take a stand and hold on to that stand. And if by chance, because you've had conversation with them over the decades and they happen to change their perspective, we go back and we say, well, what happened to what you said 30 years ago? And instead of celebrating the shift that has in fact happened, they get denigrated for the fact that they are no longer rigid, no longer consistent. We live in a world in which we create for many of us a house of cards of the way that life must be. And we work very diligently to make sure that that house of cards never falls, because if it falls, everything collapses. And instead, what does Jesus say here? Healthy are those who have had the wisdom to soften what is rigid within. They shall receive physical vigor and strength from the universe. How amazing is it that God speaks to us through the entirety of the creation? And when we let go of that rigid clinging within, the presence of God is found in all that we can see, rushes in to fill us with vigor and vitality. And if you look right below the red and the blue, the Native American translation, how lovely is this? Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walk softly and in a humble manner. How different does that sound from blessed are the meek? The earth, the land, and sky will welcome them and will always be their home. How different is that than they shall be the inheritors? It is one that is an invitation for all. In fact, Clarence Jordan, who is the founder of Koinonia Farms, which is in Georgia, founded in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and is really one of the places that was the primary shaping spiritual force for President Jimmy Carter, put together a translation of the gospel called the Cotton Patch Gospel, in which he took the words of Matthew and translated them into the vernacular of the countryside of Georgia at that time. And this is how he took that third beatitude. They who are gentle are God's people, for they will be God's partners across the land. They who are gentle are God's people, for they will be God's partners across the land. That in no way means that you don't pay attention to blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, but to see these different translations, these different interpretations, allows us to create depth and understanding and nuance to the way in which we read these scriptures. They become our grist for contemplation. Jesus calls us from that mountaintop of yore to embody something that is so very different from that of the pursuit of power, prestige, possession. And maybe if he were standing right up here, right now, standing where Emily was standing, and took the microphone and decided to create the Beatitudes for Crossroads, maybe it might read something like this. Gifted are those who would open their homes for conversation, for fellowship, for laughter, food, and prayer, so that the wonders of beloved community might begin to emerge, for they shall call into being in their actions the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who shall gather sometimes daily before the legislature to bear witness for those who have too little, for those who gather each week to prepare food for those who are hungry, for those who shall gather every 3 months to prepare shelter for those who would be without roof. For in so doing they make apparent the gift of aloha that abounds. Tune to the source of those who shall water the plants, trim the trees, pull the weeds, mow the lawns, glory in the flowers, make shelter for the ducks, share the bounty, paint the walls, shore the foundations, care for the roofs, for they maintain the harmony and balance that fills our souls and welcomes the community to a gracious space. Healthy are those who revel in meadow, wander the forest, give feet to the beach, immerse in the waters fresh and saline, dance in the dawn, dine in the dusk, howl at the moon, love under the stars, for the creation fills their spirits, and they fill the creation. Filled with wonder are those who open the door to strangers, give welcome to the lost, provide support to the forgotten, and work to erase the artificial margins that separate us, for to them, community of the divine finds a dwelling place. Renewed are those who seek the inner journey and allow their outer journey to be reflective of that sacred space, and seek the outer journey that can feed their very soul, for they shall connect their hearts to the heart of the universe, their spirit to the spirit, to the spirit that exists in us all. Blessed are you on the pathways to being ripe and mature, that which God has created you to be. May you be the reflection of the presence of God that has always been, is always here, and is to be forevermore. Amen. As we sing